Hello and welcome to the very first episode of In Time Crime. I'm your host, Robin Bagayoko. I have to say, the nerves are nerving, you guys. I'm so nervous. Okay, so as I said in the intro, if you had listened to the intro, if not, I'm going to tell you right now. Basically, the show is about taking a certain day and time. I'm picking a random month, day, and year, and doing a case, like doing up to three cases based on that date. So today we do have three cases for today's date, and two of them are all three of them are actually murders, but two of them are unsolved. Basically, the ones that are our honorable mentions, those are unsolved murders. But our featured murder, that one solved. And I do need to do a listener's discretion because our featured case is based on a child. And if you hate to hear about anything bad happening to children, listener discretion is advised. Yeah, I have kids of my own, so I totally understand when it comes to, you know, the death of a child. So it is a little heart-wrenching. So I, like I said, if you can't listen to it, you know, it's nothing. I'm not doing any gore. It's not gory or anything like that. But if you just can't hear it, you can't bear it, then I do suggest you know, come back next time or wait, you know, kind of pull it out till the next two cases, because the next two cases are adults in this episode. Or, you know, just come back next time and we'll see what happens then. But yeah, I do also hate to hear about things happening to kids, and our featured case is a child. So the date that we will be, before I begin, happy birthday to all the Aries out there. Happy birthday, Aries. It is 2024 and hopefully it will be a great year for you guys. Today's date that we're going to be discussing is October the 1st of 1994. So all three of these murders occurred on this very same day. Four different people in different parts of the world. And it's tragic. Okay, so our featured case today is on Nicholas Green, who sadly was taken on October the 1st of 1994, and he was 7 years old. Okay, so Nicholas Green was born on September the 9th of 1987, and he was an American boy, so he is from America, but unfortunately, he was taken in southern Italy. Okay, so Nicholas Green, his sister Eleanor, his mom Margaret, and his father Reginald were on vacation in Calabria, southern Italy. So on the unfortunate night of the incident, it was September the 29th, 1994, and his parents were, you know, everybody was in the car, of course. Him, his sister, and his parents were on the motorway, it says motorway, it's like a highway, I guess. And they were going between Salerno and Reggio Calabria. It doesn't say exactly what their destination was said to be, whether they were heading home, whether they were heading out to eat. It doesn't exactly say. It just says that they were in between these two locations. So they had stopped off at an auto grill, which is like a catering company, I believe. And once they got out of being at that location, they were followed by two men who it said apparently they mistook them to be jewelers. So these men started to follow them, and then they pulled up alongside their vehicle, and they started to shout at them. The men started to shout at them in Italian, and of course, like I said, the family is from America. It is an American family. So they did not understand what they were saying. So You know, when you're somewhere and people just start to, just picture it, people, you're in a car in a country that you're not familiar with, and somebody pulls up beside you and they start screaming at you. What are you going to do? You're going to probably try to drive away unless you're crazy and start to yell back at them. But Reginald was doing the right thing, which is, let me just get away from these people. So he started to accelerate, and then they started to, I guess that made them upset. So then they got behind them and started to shoot into the back of the car. Of course, when they started to shoot, of course, that's going to, you know, now you're like, okay, this is real. You know, if you were in this situation, you're like, oh my God, this is real. Like, these people are really crazy. And they started, you know, so he's like, okay, let me drive even faster. So that is what he did. And of course, that made them, you know, even more upset. And they kept shooting and kept shooting. So at some point while they were doing this, you know, they kind of gave up and was like, okay, apparently these people aren't stopping, even with us shooting to the back of the car, even with us, they're not stopping. So then they decided to give up. So once they gave up, Reginald decided to pull the car over, because it's like, oh my God, that was crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking how he's thinking. He's like, oh my God, that was crazy. So he decides to pull over to, you know, see, especially because they were shooting, see what's going on, you know. And then once he pulled over, that is when they discovered that Nicholas, the 7-year-old, was shot in the head. It's very heartbreaking. Yeah. So after that happened, of course, they, you know, went into the nearest town and went directly to the first hospital that they could find. But unfortunately, the hospital that they went to was not equipped with anything to deal with anything this severe. They could not handle that situation. So then the police had to take the family to, it's called Villa San Giovanni. And then they were transferred by a ferry across the Strait of Messina to the port of Messina. Once they got to that location, the police then took them to a head injury specialist. And unfortunately, this would be where Nicholas was pronounced dead the following day, which is October the 1st, 1994. So like I said in the, I don't recall if I said it in the beginning, but basically Nicholas's death made a change in Italy, a very fortunate change, even though what happened to him was very unfortunate. The whole way that Italy dealt with this thing that I'm about to tell you in a moment, basically Nicholas changed it. So when he passed away, his parents decided to donate his organs, and his death saved 7 people. So like I said, it's so unfortunate that this happened to this baby, but it saved 7 people. 5 people received major organs, and 2 received cornea. So, I'm sorry, it's a little hard for me too, because it's a child. And when things happen to children, it gets into my soul. It really does. But basically, let me give you tell you a little bit about these 7 people. So one of them was a mom who had never seen her baby's face clearly. So that was the cornea donation. And one of them was a diabetic who had been repeatedly in comas. One is a boy of 15 who was wasting away with a heart disease, who was only the same size as a 7-year-old. Another one was a keen sportsman whose vision was gradually darkening. That's another cornea. And 2 children, 2 other organs were for 2 children who were hooked up to dialysis machines several hours a week. And then the last person was a 19-year-old girl who, the night Nicholas was shot, was dying as well. And now, because of his death, against all odds, she's healthy, she's married, and she has two children, one of whom is said to be named Nicholas. Like I said, his death changed Italy from that day forward. Basically, people were not donating organs like that. You know, that was not really a big thing for people to die and then organs are donated. Because of the decision of his parents to donate his organs, it changed the way that people in Italy started to think. Like, you know, seven people were saved by the death of this one child. So then it's like, okay, we can save more lives. Let's, you know, do better. So back into what happened the night, though. Apparently, Italy does not play. You know, the Italians do not play when it comes to the murder of a child. They don't play about that. So when the whole situation happened, people were on top. They were on top of finding out who in the hell killed this little boy. You know, they were on it. So when they found out the two men that did this crime, which was two mafia men, which were Francesco Messiano and Michele or Michele Ianella? Listen, it don't matter. Two men. They are murderers. Who gives a shit what their name is? So when they were brought to court, the father was unfortunately unable to identify them because they were wearing masks. So he was like, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if that's them. I don't want to convict two people that, and you know, I don't want to be wrong. And I'm just assuming this is how he's thinking. I don't want to be wrong and convict two people that didn't do this crime. So I cannot tell if it's them because they were wearing masks. I couldn't see their faces clearly. So they let them go. The case was dismissed. But then they brought them back after they figured out, you know, after doing their investigations or whatever the case may be, they figured out that, yep, these two men were the ones that did it. And they brought them back in. And basically, which one was it? Ianello was sentenced to life imprisonment and Messiano was sentenced to 20 years. Like I said, I'm glad these men were brought to justice especially because this is the death of a child. I'm extremely happy that they found out who did it and they are serving their time. I'm extremely happy about that. And I'm also extremely happy that based on, you know, because of his death, seven people were able to continue to live a happy, healthy life. At least I'm going to assume that they're living happy, healthy lives. But because of, you know, because of him, seven people's life were changed for the better. But that is still very so. It's still so sad that this happened to just a 7-year-old. Barely began to live. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that was the case of Nicholas Green. Let's have a moment of silence. Okay, and now we're going to move on to our honorable mentions. I have two cases for this section. So, like I said, I looked at a couple of dates and sometimes there's only one case. I don't know if I just can't find cases or, you know, there just so happened to be peace on earth that day. So there may be times where there'll only be one, but fortunately for today, or unfortunately, let me say unfortunately for today, there are two more cases, which like I said, it's called our honorable mentions. Our first case is the case of James Dieter and Tim Oredzok. I am so sorry if I'm pronouncing that last name incorrectly. But yeah, so James was 24 and Tim was 33. They were close friends. And it was said in the beginning, it was said that they had been electrocuted. This is what it was first thought to be, was that they were electrocuted, which was determined by the Sherwood Park RCMP. But it was later revealed, however, that the man had actually been murdered. Okay, so at first, the Constable Al Frazier did not want to reveal that the men were actually murdered by 3 shots to the head, execution style. And they were having some issues with doing their investigation. They were struggling because with the murder scene, because basically it was left unsecured for over 36 hours. So after repeatedly calling the job, calling up to the job, basically, and not getting an answer, she was calling up to the plant. I'm sorry. She was calling up to the plant where the men worked. And by she, I mean Tim's wife. And basically, she was not getting an answer, so she decided to go up there. And once she got up there, that's when she discovered both men's bodies. Because of how, I guess, the case was very tampered with, or, like I said, she went up there and she was the one that found the bodies. She probably was touching, moving, screaming. And, the area was unsecured, like I said, for a moment. So then they started to, investigators had to reach out to the public for help with the case. So after doing investigation, basically interviewing several suspects, James's friend Jason Dix was considered the prime suspect. So Dix was charged with 2 counts of first degree murder and then spent 22 months in prison until May 1998, when the charges were dismissed against him, which in turn led to him suing for malicious prosecution and winning himself $715,000 less legal fees. So until this very day, which is March the 25th, 2024, this case is still unsolved. Okay, so our second honorable mention is Raquel Levette Harris, who was also murdered on October the 1st, 1994. So at 11:04 p.m., a female resident of the unit block of Heatherton Court called the Baltimore County Police and reported that several unknown persons were breaking into her home. Upon their arrival, police discovered 23-year-old Raquel Levette Harris gravely wounded. Her 2-year-old daughter was there unharmed, and her 7-month-old son was in the hospital awaiting heart surgery. Once discovered, Raquel was transferred to a hospital and later pronounced dead. Until this day, like I said, March the 25th, 2024, her case is still unsolved. So these were the cases of today. We had 3 cases, like I said. There was Nicholas Green, which was our featured case. His case was pretty short. There was not too much information given about it besides what I told you guys. And yeah, then we have the other 2 cases, which are also unsolved cases and murder cases. This is a pretty short episode, 21. We're at about 21 minutes right now. I appreciate you guys for listening. This is the very first episode, you guys. You have to bear with me. I'm trying to figure out this whole situation, and so I appreciate you listening so much. There's so many other things that you could be listening to, but you chose for me to be up in your ear like a little mosquito. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. So this show, like I said, it is every Sunday. Every Sunday we have an upload, and all cases are they are done basically by choosing a random month, day, and year. This episode was based on the day October the 1st, 1994. I do have a TikTok and an Instagram up for this podcast. So I would really appreciate if you guys will go and follow me on TikTok and also follow me on Instagram. I am considering if I should have a Facebook and a Twitter. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure, but for right now, I do have an Instagram and a TikTok that's up and running, and a Patreon is in the making. So at some point, I would like for you guys to join in there as well. And you know, if you can donate, because you will see that it will be for a good cause. So thank you guys once again for listening. I appreciate you guys. Have a wonderful evening.